The spice. Oscar. The spice.
I don't know why I started off with an old man's voice. I don't think there was one old man in the movie.
The emperor.
He was old.
Who was the only Hispanic in there, named Raul.
That is true. Man, a Hispanic was the ruler of the universe.
Not just a state, not just a planet, the known universe.
So I'm not saying, does that, as two Latinos, this makes me either go like, Oscar, we did it, we're gonna rise up, or it solidified it as science fiction.
I think it solidified as science fiction. Damn. I think by the time there is like a ruler of the universe, we're no longer gonna be like as we are modern human. We're gonna be like some oblong gray alien looking things.
I'm cool with that.
There's not gonna be Latinos anymore. It's just gonna be like bling blongs and bleep bleeps.
But there will always still be Puerto Ricans.
That's right.
They're gonna be like, oh, it's a bling blong. Where are you from? Yeah. Isabella.
All you hear is like, Dale! And you're gonna see the fucking Mandela like
just like waving them. They're like this, we're a culture, man. We're a culture.
You realize there is no Puerto Rico. You realize Earth was destroyed billions of years ago after the sun went out.
Nah, we're from New Puerto Rico. We're from there. We're good. I don't know why I gave him that accent. I don't even have that accent as a Puerto Rican.
I know. You're going to see a comet fly by. Dale!
I don't know why that hit so hard. A comet flies by. Dale! And with that, this is Burnt Out Coffee. I am, of course, Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado, and with me is my comment writing gale partner,
Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts.
And what's up? And okay, so we're gonna lay it out all in the open, Oscar. We're gonna bare our souls in front of people. This is not the first recording. We actually recorded this episode already. The problem is, no joke, in the last 4 minutes, all we had to do is go, is it worth it? And then just say bye. And like our normal spiel, Oscar's computer sadly just went, nah, and just restarted.
It froze, shut down, and when it rebooted up, all the programs were just off and nothing saved and nothing was recorded. And my heart just sank. I was like, literally at the 56 minute mark.
And the beauty of that means you're not going to get the first reactions of everything we say, because I didn't want to release a hour long recording of me just talking to myself, one-sided conversation. It would have been just a lot of Oscar
chirp chirp,
I feel the same. So instead of that, we're just going to re-record it. So if it sounds like we've heard this stuff before, our own opinions, we had, but this time you're gonna get refined. Maybe you'll like it better. Maybe you're like, hey, maybe you guys should like talk about it before so it's more refined. Nah. Today you're getting the nice cut sugar. You're used to the sugar cane, straight licking it from the branch, from the tube, from the stick. I don't know what you would call it. From the cane, that's the word. It's wow. In the name, okay? But today you're getting it straight from the bag. You get to lick it and everything. This is a weird analogy.
I just want to let you know, straight from the stock. We used to have sugarcane on our land, and my father is a horrible farmer. After coming from 8 generations of farmers, and I remember growing up and going to Puerto Rico, and like when the sugarcane was nice and ripe, the actual like stalks of the sugarcane would be red. And they're green, but like they turn like a nice deep red, and like my grandfather would chop them like an inch long segment, and like just split it down the middle, and you just suck on the juicy like fibers. It's like literally like stringy fibers, but it's like super juicy and super sugary, and it's just delicious. And then 1 year, my dad just cut way too much of the sugarcane and killed the whole crop. So.
Oh, that is actually extremely sad.
Yeah, but we had sugarcane on that land for literally generations before that, man.
And then one man destroyed it all.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God. And with that, before we also jump into Dune, we just want to say for our video listeners, next week we should be going back to video. Just like you've been hearing for the past few weeks, we've been having technical difficulties all around, from my computer, now Oscar's computer, and we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. Don't worry. Is it going to be great? Why don't you talk about Dune, Oscar? Why don't you talk about Dune?
So, yeah, Dune. We're specifically talking about the movie, the 1984 release of Dune, boop, boop, with the director, good old David Lynch, who Ricky loves, apparently.
Yep.
Spoilers. And I'm actually terrified, because I was talking about Dune today with a associate, and I realized the same thing, because the original Dune had a star-studded cast, and Kyle MacLachlan, Patrick Stewart, Virginia Madsen, like Sean Young, tons of characters. That one guy that does Chucky's voice, I always forget his name.
Guy who does Chucky. Oh, yes, very famous, very famous.
Yeah, he did Chucky, he did Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. I always recognize him in roles, I never remember his name. But, that's yeah. So, star-studded cast. So, like we talked about before, obviously, but the movie's budget was around $45 million, which is roughly $90 million today's money.
Ooh,
and
damn.
Box office was about $37 million.
Ooh, damn!
So it was
$8 million difference.
It was a total train wreck, just flop. And I was thinking today, I was like, man, the new movie looks so good. It's got such a star-studded cast. And I'm sure like the budget for this one is like $200 million.
Let me see if I can find that. Let me see if I can
not
find
more.
That. Keep going.
Usually you don't find these things out until after the movies, you know, come out.
I know, but you never know. I don't want to... Because
they're still not done filming.
They're still not done? I thought it was supposed to come out. Oh, my God. No, there's a budget.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay, so how much do you want to guess?
I'm thinking 250 mil.
Oh, you're about to be happily wrong. It's only a measly 175 million.
Oh, okay.
Looks like just a measly shit ton of cash.
You know, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, and everyone else that's in that dang movie.
Isn't it the boy who fucked a peach? What's his name? He was also in Little Women. Movie I fucking love.
Are you talking about the guy playing Paul Atreides?
Yeah.
I don't know that guy from anything.
No. You know him. He's super famous.
I don't,
in his name.
I don't
Timothy
know
Chalamet.
I don't know that at all. That was just that could have been my neighbor. I don't know.
Timothy Chalamet. He's a really good actor.
He seems so like amazing. It. I honestly, from what I've seen, I like him for fitting the role of Paul Atreides. But yeah, so hopefully we do not repeat history and this movie does really, really well. So getting back to the 1984, do you want to go first? You want me to go first? Who goes first? I can't tell what the whole apparatus.
Oh, the apparatus of the system we're in? Why don't we try something new?
Okay.
Dare I say it? Why don't we go at the same time? We just jump back and forth.
We just go back and forth? Okay, yeah. So do you want to do acting, plot, special effects?
Let's briefly talk about plot, because that's a can of worms.
Okay, so first off, this book was written by Frank Herbert back a million years ago. Yeah, and it's probably his magnum opus. There's a huge fan base for Dune. It has tons of novels, series, and so yeah, it's all about way in the future, the year 10,000 something, and
10,000 something.
Well, exactly. Hold on, let me get my notes. 10,191.
Oh damn, I thought 63. Shit.
Yes, a spice, which is just like a mineral called Melang. Melangi? Melangi? Melang? Melang.
It's called a meringue.
That's how I pronounce it, Melang. It's the most valuable substance in the known universe because it expands life. It doesn't make you immortal, but it increases your longevity, basically.
As well as, like, open your consciousness, gives you the ability to transport in space.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. And
it mutates your eye so you go blue. You become blue-eyed man.
And the only source of this stuff is on Arrakis, or otherwise known as the planet Dune.
I like how it has a name, but they gave it another name.
Yeah, and they repeat that constantly in the book. Arrakis, Dune, desert, planet.
Why do they call a whole planet? Like, I get the concept, but it's not like we call Earth another name. It's like Earth, or as we call it, blue water.
I mean,
or a lot wetlands. Of people
don't realize that, like, technically, Earth, our sun, and our moon have actual names.
What? That ain't their fucking names?
Well, they have actual names that are Latin, and then they have just, like, so the sun is just a star, the moon is just a literal moon, and then the Earth is just a planet. We call it the Earth because it is a translation from its name, Terra. The sun is called Sol, and then the moon is called Luna.
So you're telling me I've been calling them by their nicknames my whole life?
Yeah, but, like, if you speak Spanish, it's, like, normal. We call the moon, you know, la luna, the sun, el sol, and the earth, la tierra.
Shit, you right?
Instead of terra. So, yeah.
So what I'm hearing is English fucked it up, or is it America fucked it up?
I'm just going to go with English.
Okay, come on, English. Get your English. Why'd you gotta like change this whole name to make it all you?
So
I called Terra before.
I don't know from context if it's the actual natives call it Arrakis or they call it Dune. Because they're called Arrakans and the Fremen, but they're never called like the Dunanites.
Well, I'm gonna say, like, with white people's history with natives, I'm gonna go. They call themselves Dunanites simply because the Native Americans never called themselves Native Americans before.
That's the thing, they
had their own names.
The natives are Arrakis.
Came and went. Native Americans.
They call themselves the Fremen, so that's why I'm confused.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is Arrakis and Dune is not the name of the planet. It's Fremar or Fem or Feminina. I don't know. Something with that.
Frank Herbert, I'm sure he gets crazy because that guy likes to world build. But anywho, the whole point is there's these warring family houses. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with the Harkonnens. The emperor gives the rights of Arrakis to a different family called the Atreides. And the Harkonnens mm-hmm. leave. And the Atreides and Harkonnens are like mortal enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this sort of weird coming of age tale for the young Paul Atreides, who is in line to become the next Duke of the Atreides family. And so you have this weird stuff. You got Patrick Stewart with a mullet. You got weird
Roblox people.
Roblox
people. We're not on special effects yet.
And so, like, the whole point is they're going to Arrakis to pretty much take over management and the mining of the spice and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And then so there is betrayal, all sorts of stuff, and sort of the coming of age tale of this guy named Paul. Now, I say coming of age tale, but I don't agree with it, only because a traditional hero's journey is you suck. And you fail until you eventually succeed and grow as a character and become the hero you're meant to be.
Hey, it's my life.
Right? And in this movie, Paul is just fucking amazing from beginning to end.
From the beginning, Patrick Stewart's rocking a mullet with no head on top of his hair, but Atreides walks in with flowing hair.
Okay, so I just want to say Kyle MacLachlan in this film has the most beautiful head of hair.
He has the most beautiful head of hair, but I want to say something. His face, and this is going to, I know, I don't care. His face is very misleading to his body type because that man has like a jaw, like strong facial features. And then when I look at him, I'm like, I assume you would be bigger. Like, everyone is skinny buff. No, I would. He has the face of a man who's in the WWE.
Like, I've seen him in a lot of films. He never gets big. He always has a very slender frame.
That's not a knock on slender frames. It's just more of a, he has the face of a man who,
yeah,
who has the potential to be a Hulk.
Very, like, strong, like, square features. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, okay.
Yeah, still a very attractive man.
Patrick Stewart still looked the same age he always has.
He has not aged. The only thing that happened was he cut off the mullet.
That was it. I will say this, actually, in his new show, the Picard one, is the only time I've ever seen him look really old. Like, but it's like, you've only aged 10 years in your past 40 years of TV, so that's good. Like, face-wise, that's really good. But for the plot, like, just going into my thoughts of it, it's just really just to, like, simplify it. This, you can tell this is part of a big, thick daddy book.
Oh, like, yeah.
This book is thick because so much is just thrown at you. And it's just thrown. And it's... So, like, David Lynch, I feel, always has a style of his own. And I remember telling you before, the point I made is, like, this man does not let success get in the way of his vision. The reason I say it like that is, he is always going to... David Lynch will always be David Lynch. He doesn't care if a property succeeds or not. Obviously, he's aiming for it to succeed, but I'm saying he won't conform too much to outside of what he wants. The problem with that is... We both agree, right, Oscar? One way he is trying to connect the plot in the story and really move it forward is horrible. Is the... I'm thinking out loud right now, Oscar. I'm having internal narratives right now when I'm speaking. Yeah, that stupid shit where throughout the movie they whisper think.
So
they whisper think so much.
I just want to supplement, because I've been reading the book, is just... They do that in the book, where it's a lot of internal monologues, but I agree with you. Having them whisper all their internal monologues within their head, just so you understand that it's a thought rather than aloud, annoyed the hell out of me.
It made it hard to understand. And not only that, narrative thought in books is a book convention. The reason it is a novel convention and everything is because without the visual element of film, which can convey so much. Like, I can't tell you, like, Atreyu had a sad frown. Aww. And then I show you a sad frown, have two different impacts. So you have the thought processes, what's going on in their heads and everything, to push the narrative forward and give you some internal insight. I don't need to know when a dagger is floating in the air. The only, if he had to say anything, it's, if I don't move, it doesn't see me. I don't need to have...
First off, it's called a Hunter Seeker, and it's incredibly important to the story.
Okay, I don't need a soliloquy in his head whispering to me about what to not do and everything. If I move, if I call for help, someone will die. They'll die if they enter. I'm like, you could just have it float and give me the tension. You know, I don't need to have him think.
Bro, the book is worse. The author... I know he's beloved by a lot of sci-fi nerds. I'm a sci-fi nerd. He destroys his own tension.
Yeah, hit on it. Hit on it.
So basically, he does this a lot. So in the film, there is a traitor in the House of Atreides. And in the movie, it's revealed as he becomes a traitor. Like, everything's cool and gravy. Boom, traitor. And there's an impact in the story, in the movie. You're like, oh, shit.
Betrayal. Even though I kind of saw it coming.
Even though you kind of saw it coming. Betrayal.
Because I loved it because they focused on him out of nowhere in the film. They're like, look at this dude. He exists now. I'm like, is he the traitor?
And the reason for this is because in the book, it's known in the beginning of the damn book who the traitor is. The author tells you who the traitor is. Like, there's like, it's all like recounts. It's like, oh, from the journal of Muhadib, or the accounts of the family of Muhadib, da, 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 da. And so, like, each chapter is like, gives you like a different account, and like, it tells you that he's the traitor in the beginning of the book, And I guess, like, his ploy is to, like, because you get to know the character as the book goes on, but you already know he's a traitor. And they let you know he's going to be the traitor numerous times in the book.
Yeah, like, they want to pull a Burr from Hamilton.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I guess they try to make you feel sorry for him. But then there's other instances, like, you're talking about that floating dagger thing, the Hunter Seeker. It's in the chapter, he's walking in his room, and then the compartment in his bed opens up, and the Hunter Seeker comes out, and he recognizes the device. And there's that whole internal monologue, like, I must stand still. If this is any movement, it'll kill me, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, he goes through that whole thing, right? The next chapter in the book is his mother discovers a secret room, discovers a secret and decodes this message where someone is friendly to her, is warning her that there's a traitor in the house, that they're going to try to kill him, and there's a trap in your son's room. And so there's all this tension, but you already read in the previous chapter that he's fine. He survived the encounter. And so she's going to go warn him, and he comes in the room to let her know everything is fine, like, I discovered this thing. So if he would have just done this chapter first, like, oh no. But last time we were with Paul, he was relaxing in his room, and his mom just found out that there's a trap in the room, and now there's a traitor. But because
becomes tension.
There's tension. But the author already told us, one, that there's a traitor, and then two, in the chapter four, how he gets out of the situation. So he's constantly diffusing his own tension, and that's why I couldn't. I just found myself bored in the book, where I thought the movie succeeded a little bit more.
Yeah, well, the movie, I am now realizing, like, they really try to condense that scene to one thought. Remember?
Yeah.
When they were scanning the workers, the one chick just had the thought, I gotta tell them there's a traitor amongst them.
Oh, no, no, no.
And that's it?
That's part of the book, too. That's on top
God
of.
God damn it.
That's on top God of. Damn it.
So the plot with this film, it's very sci-fi. There's no knock on that. We enjoy the sci-fi. We enjoy basically really, it's a story of a really good guy who's good at everything, slowly finds out he's Jesus and
space Jesus.
He's space universe. Yeah, he's universe Jesus. The plot in itself isn't inherently bad in the film. My problem with the plot is simply the pacing of it. I don't get how a film can skip over so much to try to condense into 2 hours what is a massive amount of information, but feel 6 hours long. It feels as if I read the book. The pacing, the character development, not that it's bad, but just the pace of it. Like, and then, like, it takes an hour, and I literally looked at the time and I went, it's more than like an hour and a half, and we're now meeting the people who live in Dune and are meeting the chick. We have a half hour left. What's about to happen? And then montage like shit. Baby born. Baby becomes super smart and grows into girl super fast. He trains soldiers to fight in an army. He goes in. He learns how to speak with the worms. He's like, worms, come to me. And they come to him. He comes and beats everyone. The world is saved. Oh, and I went, what the fuck just happened? I blinked.
The voice guns.
You mean the so cool devices?
That weren't in the book at all?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're just trying to sell toys? The whole movie, like the beginning, they have this training segment to where you see them put on this collar and hold this like device. Where
that
they
show feels
you...
like it takes an hour.
Yeah, it feels like it takes an hour. And like they show you how this dang thing works. And it has nothing to do with the book whatsoever. They're just trying to sell toys. That failed as well. Because you're in a really hard time in 1984 for a kid to be like, Mama, for Christmas, I want the Muad'Dib action figure.
the what's on?
The Muad'Dib. He is the...
Do you want to say that again?
He is the chosen one, the space Jesus.
He's space... What is this film?
You're going to church right now.
You forget that devil doom. You forget it right now.
Now, I want you to talk about your favorite special effect, because in the book, it sounds stupid.
Oh, does it?
But I want to say in the trailer to the new movie coming out, it looks like the book describes. Like, they got it spot on. It looks good. But you go ahead.
I need to see the trailer. So haven't. Okay. So I guess we're jumping in from plot, just general plot. We're going into special effects.
Sure.
I do want to give the movie some praise before I rip it a new one.
Okay.
A lot of the special effects of Dune, I don't mean the movie, I mean the planet. Dune, the worms, and a lot of how they destroy things, I thought looked really cool.
Yeah, it was like, that was a lot of practical effects, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, like, knowing how they do it just in general, how, like, oh, these are actually miniatures that they're just, like, filming, like, that gets crushed and stuff, but they use these camera conventions to make you believe you're in a car, I think is amazing. So, the Roblox. when they happened, when I was watching the film, I looked and I went, is that Patrick Stewart? And before I could solidify my mind that's him, I turned to my left to get a drink of water and turned around and see him encased in square body that you cannot see and understand shit in. And then I see the main character do it and I went, what the fuck is this horrible, ugly shit? I was like, you could have had the same effect by just making a light happen, and then anytime they try to strike, you show like light around their body slowing them down or something. But that looked ugly. I could not tell if they were fighting, if they were just, it looked like two blocks just slamming into each other. Like, it wasn't until near the end of the fight I realized they had daggers in their hands. I was so confused. It was the moment I went like, I don't know if I want to like this movie. And plus the fighting was so slow. Like, I'll let you talk about it because you know more about why it was slow. But legitimately, I almost turned it off. I almost went, I think I could fake that I watched this. There's no way I could.
Like, you're like watching the whole thing. 15 minutes in, you're like, I think I'm done.
I think I'm good. I just had like a 10-minute just woman speak to me about spice. And then I found out Roblox, like this fucking circus, what's the amusement park, funhouse mirror effect on these people.
Oh god, it was something else. So reading the book and also watching the movie, it's stupid. So like I love
stupid.
You know I love world building. As a DM, mm-hmm. as a creative, I love world building. Mm-hmm. And some of my ideas are fucking retarded. And some of them I think are still cool to this day.
The seasonal dragon.
Listen, the seasonal dragon, it was a necessity because you and your brother were pissing me off. I just wanted you to do as you were told.
I don't do as I told.
I learned that as a young DM, and I didn't make those mistakes anymore. So
if you give us left or right, we might pick right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. But continue with the beautiful world building of Dune.
Okay, so I think Frank Herbert really liked this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more power to him. You know, make your dreams come true. And obviously he was very successful with his story. I don't like it. So,
Can I say something? I feel really bad people are hearing this version. Because the first version had a little nuance of like, maybe it has its good points and bads. We're over here like, now that we talked about it, we realize we don't like this shit.
We don't. I don't.
Because you missed it, people. In the first recording, Oscar started off like, so this movie had like some things. And at the end you went, I think I don't like this movie at all. And now we just got the solidified, I don't like this movie. Which sucks because I love David Lynch. Oh my god, this movie.
And we like the first time we got in super depth with like his career and everything, like how he like had a really good season with The Elephant Man, and like he went like they entrusted him with this film and he was a big fan, so he wanted to do it justice. But then you realize it's not David Lynch's fault. It's Frank Herbert's fault.
Which like honestly, like I'm ready I'm not welcoming it, but I'm just ready for the hate we're going to get where they're like, Frank Herbert is a genius. He is a man who he has earned all his praise. There is no doubt about it. What that man done for sci-fi is great. in the sense of sci-fi in general. Sci-fi doesn't mean general, I have to like it.
He inspired a lot. He inspired George Lucas. I mean, you look at Desert Planet, you look at Tatooine, you see the dead lizard in the thing. Like, he inspired a lot, okay? That's cool and gravy.
Quote me, tell me if I'm wrong. Did he write 2001 A Space Odyssey? Or is that, am I thinking of someone else?
Did he write it?
Yeah, it's a book.
I know it's a book. I don't know who wrote it. I only know the director.
Little known fact, the book and the screenplay for 2001 A Space Odyssey were being created at the same time. The idea, the director, Stanley Kubrick, knew the author, heard the idea, and they were like working together. But they were working together and separately at the same time. So that's why there's two versions of it.
Arthur C. Clarke.
Arthur C. Clarke. That's it. So he didn't. Because I was going to say, that one's a confusing jumbled mess that turned out amazing.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he do it twice?
2010 Odyssey 2. That's another one. But anywho. yeah, the second one was not as good as the first. So, yeah.
We're ripping it a new one.
So in the movie book, they
in the movie book, yes.
Because honestly, I'll give it to David Lynch. He was very authentic. He was very true to the story. I'm not gonna knock him there.
Oh no, he tried to honor the book as much as he could,
and that's very honorable. I just wish he didn't.
I wish he decided to adapt it.
Yes,
that would fit the film medium, not just put pictures to it, but that's fine, you know.
And that's why I'm excited for the new one, where instead of Patrick Stewart, we're gonna have Momoa, like, my man, oh yeah.
I'm cool with that. I am 100% cool with that. You know what? It makes as much sense. Patrick Stewart with a mullet or Jason Momoa.
I honestly don't even know if they're playing the same character, but
I hope they are now. I hope they shave the top of Jason Momoa's head.
Okay, so Patrick.
And give him a mullet.
Okay, so he was Gunnery Halleck, and I'm looking him up for Jason Momoa's role in Dune. I'm gonna laugh. He is playing Duncan Idaho, my second favorite character.
Which one was Duncan Idaho?
He was the other one. So, like, in the book. Let me explain this to you. So Duncan Idaho and Gunnery are the only characters with personalities.
Oh, you mean okay, I think I know who he was.
Yeah,
I think
I know who he was. He was the other warrior that was sent to Arrakis. But they're the only ones with personalities. The rest of them are very bland. But anyway, back to the special effects. So
the blood tube valves were cool.
That was pretty
cool. The heart valves?
Yeah, that was cool.
Made no sense why they existed, but yeah, special effects wise,
I think it's control, basically. It's like we can kill you in an instant, basically.
That makes sense, yeah. I figured that's what it is, but it's that scene was weird. Special effects wise, it was beautiful.
It was weird and kind of weird, it was like a, I don't know how to say deadly, but it was like a weird, like homoerotic slash like. I don't want to say necrophilia. Like, it was weird because, like, the Baron Harkonnen was, like, really liking some little boys and, like, his own nephew.
I thought I was misreading that. I was like, I'm getting mad pedophile and I want to murder you vibes.
It was bad. It was bad. Like, it was just, like, you couldn't see his heart on because of all the fat, but I mean, like, it was bad.
If you lift the belly. If you saw his belly rise, you knew why.
Like, I don't do the metric system because I'm American, but in the book, he's 200 kilos, which is a lot.
How much is 200 kilos?
I don't know.
This is the research episode. Let's
200 kilos to actual
I got pound. You right now.
Go for it, bud.
You keep talking.
Yeah, I'll find out. In the book, they have these things called armor belts, and basically, it's like protection, so it's an armor suit. So you touch.
Fuck!
What is it?
Do you want to try to guess?
I'm gonna guess double 400 pounds.
Wow, super close. 441 rounded up.
Yeah, so he's 441 pounds, and he uses these suspension things to levitate his body because he can no longer walk.
Oh my god.
Which I want to say is weak sauce, because I've seen my 500 pound life and Americans can walk.
Oh yeah, my 600 pound life is, whew, they will put that, they're like, we don't need suspension grids. Bah, 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 bah. Oh god.
Screonk.
Do not. We're not shaming those who are big, but
I'm just saying, like, there's nothing wrong with being thick, okay?
Yeah.
My fiance is thick, but when you let your family member reach 1,000 pounds, that is, there's some lack of love in there. But anyway,
JoJo's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Yeah, well, she's gorgeous. That's why I'm married. You know I'm shallow as shit.
I don't know if this is a good thing or bad. She's like, honey, you know I think you're beautiful. I'm shallow as shit.
And she knows this.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I told her I was, I never said I was a good man. So back to the armor belts. We're finally getting there.
Finally.
It creates a field around the body, and to the eye, it almost looks like a blur. And in the new trailer, you see that. And in the old movie, all they could get was like some weird Lego Roblox, like
fucking
really
mirror shit.
Yeah, it was horrible. But the whole point of it is like it blocks things coming in quickly. So if it's like fire, like I'm assuming like firearms, but like in the book, I've as far as I've read, they only fight with blades. So like if you're using a rapier coming in fast, the armor deflects it. So the fighting style is rapier and dagger, which is kind of traditional. And but when you're going fast with the rapier, the armor blocks those moves. So you have to use it for feints and counters and to sort of keep your opponent off guard while you use the dagger to go slowly into the armor field. Because only a slow motion can get through the armor field. If it's fast, the armor detects it and deflects it. So I'm thinking about that like practically, and I'm imagining these guys fighting really fast and then like edging this dagger really slow, and it is probably my least favorite form of fighting I have read or seen.
Oscar, you're telling me slow motion fighting entirely is not the new hot craze in fighting?
So
do you think they're gonna try to keep that in the new Dune, or just
from what I saw, it wasn't as pronounced. Like I saw it to where they were fighting and the dagger got in, it wasn't super slow. But like for me, like you remember like Alec Guinness and Darth Vader fighting in episode 4?
Yep.
It was like that for an entire movie. It was that,
it was
boring.
So like this movie, I guess we can go into kind of like our sum it up points of how we feel about it in general. Because I do, there's a point I made in our last recording I kind of do want to touch on a bit.
I will kill him.
Now that one, oh yeah, Sting's in this movie. I will kill him. I will kill, spit on you. It was horrible. That was the final fight, Oscar. That was the climactic moment. The climactic moment wasn't them riding onto worms, shooting. It was the slow motion dagger fight. They weren't wearing the armors. They were just moving slow.
And the thing that bothered me the most is, so Sting, who played Fade, I assumed like he would be like the nemesis to Paul, and they would have like sort of this sort of rivalry throughout the story and movie, and they literally did not see each other until the very end of the film. And you had to believe, like, this was, like, the big bad. And, like, Paul was in danger for some reason. Even though you didn't see Fade, like, fight at all in the entire film.
Yeah, like, honestly, I'm not lying. I did not feel that at all. Like, you saying that was his attempt made me go, I did not believe that at all. I literally thought they were just random. Not even the actors felt it. I don't know anything. They're like, this is... He's like, does he not know I'm Jesus now? I talk to worms. I can make rain happen. What the f- And this guy, like, who's never fought one. Like, the only memorable scene I have of him is not even because of him. It was when he came out shirtless, and then the 400-pound life man just, like, looked over and gave him that, like, fuck me eyes. And I was like, what is this scene? Are they a thing? He's into that? That man has... What? I was confused. That whole... Like, him in the entire film was confusing to me. Like, them in general in the whole... Like, that whole planet, I felt like made no sense in the film. Because, Oscar, before we... I forgot. Before we go into our final mentions, there was one character, your favorite character we never mentioned, who was secretly pulling the strings. I don't fucking know. You remember him. Remember?
Who?
He floats in a tank.
Vagina Mouth?
Vagina Mouth.
Vagina Mouth.
How did you... That was actually good special effects.
It was great, except it creeped me out and I didn't understand what was going on.
I don't know. He was smoking out of his mouth. For some reason, they had vacuum cleaners with him. Like, did you see those two dudes just in the background vacuum cleaning everywhere they walked?
Oh, God. And, like, I'm so happy they have, like, a... Like, they had a huge budget in the old film. But, like, all the soldiers were, like, in hazmat suits. And at least the new one, they're in actual armor.
Yeah, hazmat suit. I thought they were, like, in trash bags. I'm not gonna lie. I thought when they came in, I was like, oh, he's meeting homeless people. What is this? And then when they brought out Vagina Mouth, I was like, these are the bad guys? And I was like, I bet in the book they explain why they're vacuuming. But the movie never explained it. So to me, they were just generous. Like, generous? Like, oh, well, we're here. We'll just do some house cleaning. We're dragging our big dude in a tank. Well, might as well, we can do is just, like, do that. I don't know. This movie, I'll let you say your thoughts first. Like, the final thoughts on it, because I'm... Yeah,
it was.
I think it's clear.
It's obviously it loses itself in exposition and weird monologues and things like that. It tries to condense an epic story into just 2 hours, which has numerous tons of world building and numerous chapters on etiquette, which are boring as fuck. Weird slow fighting to get through shields that's boring as fuck, so I'm happy they put in the sound weapons in the film instead. my name is a killing word. And the little girl, wait till my brother gets here.
That shit was, I will tell you when my brother's here. Well, like, this just five.
She's terrifying is what she is. And I'm looking at her as an adult. She's fine as hell.
What?
Yeah, she's really attractive.
Don't say that. She's 5 in the film. She's 5 in the film.
Oscar. She's 45 also, right now.
Dang. Yeah, like, wait. Yeah, that movie's old.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. Everything's old about this.
Wait, that's another thing. The dude magically got the power to speak, but never really, like, he used it at the end one more time.
But the problem is like, so like, that's an actual thing. Like, the voice weapons aren't a thing in the book. I mean, but the voice is. It's like a power, and it manipulates people and does things like that.
It's like the Force. Yeah.
It's like some of it's the Force, some of it's like a Thum from like Skyrim. Gotcha. So like, it has different abilities and stuff. But yeah, I mean, overall, the movie kind of loses itself because it's trying to do too much for the space that it has. It could have been good. I personally am not enjoying the book, so I'm hoping the adaptation to the new film does better for a modern audience, to where it's not stuck in world building or constant monologues and things like that. Just make it nice and smooth into this epic, because underlining it is a truly epic and awesome story, and the elements of it are really, really cool. It's just, I don't think it was the actual, how do I want to say it? Execution was done very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty much my final thought on that.
Yeah. The new movie for me is going to prove something. So I have a theory where if you're unwilling to make major cuts to, especially because, ironically, this is going to be a weird comparison, Oscar. I know it's going to hit you out of left field. Look at the Harry Potter movies as an example of on how to adapt a bit for one major reason. The movies cut all the fat out of the books. Books are meant to develop the world in these very large expansive ways, because when you're reading, you have time. You control the pace of it truly, and how much you read and how much you don't at a time, and it's allowed to give you so much information. If you don't know how to cut correctly and also just cut, you have to do this, and this is my theory. The new Doom movie will either prove me right or wrong. With sci-fi epics, especially literature like this, look at also Game of Thrones is going to be another example, even though they're both non-sci-fi what I mentioned, but you'll get what I'm saying. If you're not willing to cut as much as you want, make it into a show, either a miniseries or something.
Well, they tried to do it as a miniseries and that failed as well.
They did what now?
Yeah.
Oh god, because like the problem then it might go to my original theory where I said like I don't know if Doom could be adapted into something like that because of the concepts and everything, because some stories are meant to stay one way. Maybe a graphic novel could work because it's still closer to the novel format. But my thing is, this movie is going to prove it or not, because if you don't choose to cut it correctly and you try to keep everything, this is too much for a film. This is way too much for a film.
I think honestly, like, this is just book one. Like, people don't realize there's like six freaking books of this stuff. And I think just book one alone needs to be two or three films.
No, I agree. 100%. And this is like, that's the problem. That's why I'm saying it should be a show, a miniseries, or something like that, but well done and budgeted right. Because like, you can do the Game of Thrones approach where you are able to expand more and more using the multiple books, but like you're able to stretch out.
It's got the potential, but it needs to be adapted the right way.
Yeah, like honestly, watching this movie made me excited to watch the new one, because I'm like, I hope they do a better job, because you haven't sold the book on me. You haven't made me go like, today's the day, I'll pick it up.
I'm gonna finish it, but I don't want to continue it.
You don't have to finish it. No one's forcing you.
I'm telling myself, like, Oscar, you're only like halfway through it, or a little over halfway. Finish it. Like, it could get better. It hasn't yet, but it could get better.
Oscar on page, second to last page. Maybe this last page will clutch it.
Maybe this last page. You know what? Maybe I'll find true love. Maybe one day I'll finish One Piece. I don't know.
Hey, One Piece is worth it. Don't knock that One Piece. Gotta go.
Yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah.
So does it hold up? I guess the quick answer, Oscar, for you?
You know what? Like, I don't a lot of times agree with the critics, things like that, because I like to see the beauty even in disasters. And this movie just, it didn't do it, man. It didn't do it. I wish it did. I'm still excited for the new one, because I see the potential, but this version just did not work for me.
We're about to get crucified, because that's two no's on us, because a sci-fi classic, no. I don't think it holds up. And I say this going, I don't think...
It's not even held up. It failed when it originally came out.
Like, this is the thing. To the people who like this, I get it. If you're into massive world building, you're into this kind of storytelling and everything, I could see why you like it. But no, I don't. It's one of those things, like, if people went to me like, this is a sci-fi classic, I'm like, I could, yeah, sure. I won't knock where it stands. But I will say it's not for me. It's 100% not for me. I did not enjoy the movie. I don't think I'm going to enjoy the book. Hopefully this new movie just like tells me wrong, with Jason Momoa, with Timothy Chalamet, with
The only thing I feel bad is that if this movie does well, which I hope it does, because the trailer looks phenomenal. The cast is absolutely fantastic. Top notch. I feel bad because if this movie does well, you're going to have a lot of people reading this really terrible book.
And with that last thing, let's call it an episode of Burnt Out Coffee. Thank you all for listening. I have been Enrique Rosado at Writer Rosado. With me, of course, is the book hating. He doesn't like sci-fi at all. He hates the genre. Look at him, how he spoke about Dune. Oscar Fernandez at Oscar
Timothy Farts. Zahn is phenomenal. Read any of his shit. He just poops gold.
Yes, Timothy Zahn. I know him as well. He wrote...
The most famous for the Thrawn trilogy for Star Wars, but he writes a bunch of other novels.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I knew that. Yep. I knew that 100%.
When those books became no longer canon, when they reintroduced Thrawn, they still had Timothy Zahn write those books.
That's actually really impressive and really cool to leave that much of an impact. I mean,
that's his guy. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, like, he gets to fix the mistakes he felt he made in the previous ones. That's really nice of them. Go ahead.
I don't think he did any mistakes, but okay.
No. I said he believed. He believed. Okay. As a writer, you always believe you make mistakes.
That is true.
And that is it, everybody. If you want to catch more of what we do, you can check out, I have a webcomic going on called Cat Trails. It's on Webtoon and Tapas.
It's great.
Thank you. I need it. Thank you.
I really do enjoy it. I think I'm two chapters behind. I need to cut up.
And like, with that, as well as you can check out, if you want to support the podcast, at Burnt Out Creative, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, you get to hear early the other podcast, Internet 24. It is a storytelling podcast. Of course, you can catch it here. If you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, you can find it right here. Internet 24, it is a storytelling podcast anthology series that covers all the strange and wildness from fantasy to sci-fi. It's crazy, weird, and I like it. I like doing it a lot. Of course, Oscar, you have anything you want to plug?
No, not currently.
And we want to leave y'all with a thought. Thank you for listening. Of course, if you like the episode, make sure to like it. Follow us here. Subscribe. It really does help liking the episodes. It really gets us more notice. And we want to leave you with a question, a two-part question. One, honestly, the easiest one. Do you think Dune holds up, or did it ever hold up? Is this something you recommend? And two, what's the fun question?
Ooh. What is your favorite sci-fi series that has not been adapted to live action that you would like to see adapted?
Yo, that's good. That is really good. Like, what sci-fi series do you want to see adapted on the big screen? What should they have used the money for Dune remake instead?
Honestly, for me, I mean, obviously Star Wars is a big franchise. But I would love to see not the Bane trilogy, but just the first Bane book adapted into live action, because it is a story that is really good world building and introduces a little bit of new technology and a different side of Star Wars you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a different style of a hero's journey, but a hero's journey nonetheless. And that's something I would love to see.
Yo, that's actually really good. For sci-fi, this is the weird thing. A lot of the sci-fi I read has evidently became something.
Yeah.
Like I'm I don't know, either I have amazing taste where I only pick winners, or in reality, I just accidentally find stuff that's mainstream and people go like, "Let's adapt it." Actually, I'm looking right now. That would be, no, that's been adapted. That's been adapted. I'm going through like the list of stuff I read, and I'm just like, oh my God, Oscar, you actually asked a really good question. You asked a really good question, and you did not know.
Well, you just need to stew on that for a bit and comment down below, Enrique.
I guess I have to comment with everyone else. Oh, Room of Swords is a good one. I'll leave it at that. Room of Swords. And of course, thank you for listening to this episode of Burnt Out Coffee. Like I said, for our video listeners, hopefully if everything goes right, no promises, but you know, if everything goes right, we're going to be back on video so you can see our beautiful faces. For our audio listeners, look ahead. Some stuff may be changing soon. We don't know. We're always trying to improve the show. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you feel. And with that, Oscar's going to like hit us with our famous catchphrase, and that's it.
I just want to spit on you. Just a little spittle. Just a little spittle.
Will you kill him? Will you
kill him? I will kill him!
Ah! So dumb. That movie was so bad.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. You made me watch that.
I thought it was going to be good. I remembered it being good when I was a kid.
Your memories. I don't trust young Oscar's taste anymore.
It's usually pretty good. That one failed me. That one failed.
Okay.
It's all right. Next time we'll do Critters.
Oh, God.